the yellow paper in there.
Right.
But they love the stuff that comes out of the computers, and they love the...
Sure, because they don't have to do anything. there have been a good number of... when the paper market is high, they have made a great deal of money off the state.
Yeah. Well, and I got in... You know, I might relate something. There's another company called Clayport. We want to really... I mean, you were talking about this whole thing where I got drug in the middle of this thing from the private sector as to how the whole thing got started in the first place. And when we get back to that, we could really drag up some skeletons and talk about the whole process. And so I guess I have been approached by these people because they're in my district. And it's a operation. You get kind of torn because they do have these people out there that they're trying to mainstream, so to speak. And it's a worthy project, but it's costing us money. And when you get down to a situation like this, you have some difficulty with it simply because it isn't very feasible to have every state employee going through this process when you have high-paid legislators like Senator Simpson here that you have to be separating a banana peel too.
The thing gets to be a social problem. You know, what is the role of government? And one of them is this: should we be funding somebody's philosophy about saving when economics say that it isn't there? And because some guy gets carried away with it, he's going to save the world sort of proposition. So we should subsidize this to no end. I can remember back in the Depression, and so I'm old enough to do that, when economics said that recycling paper was pretty great. And so you had public paper drives continuously. Every school had half of their gym. I can remember even filling up the gym of Jefferson High School in Portland and had it up almost to the ceiling because it was profitable then. The mills were looking for the cheap, and that was when you could buy trees for $1 a thousand. But it was more profitable to recycle. Today, they're not recycling and using it because it isn't that profitable. The mills don't want it. I have the only mill, I think, in the state that takes cardboard. And they will put some paper with it, but the only people they'll buy paper from is from the from our little center for the retarded, where we have the retarded kids working. It doesn't really even fit under a state program. But anyway, they will take their paper mix, but they won't buy it from anybody else because it's still not profitable to use. But they will take all the cardboard they can get because that particular mill is equipped to recycle it. But the average paper mill that's even making cardboard fiber, the brown paper that, you know, they don't have to worry about color, doesn't really want to be bothered with it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could say one other thing, and that I suppose it's hazardous for me to say this politically, but we 6 years ago took this project out of the private marketplace where there is competition, and we gave it to a monopoly of one firm. There are no other such firms that can do this kind of business on a shelter workshop basis. And what I have told my staff to do is that because it's a monopoly, because there are not marketplace forces that can provide incentives for the firm to do better and better all the time, I have said, I want you to continually be pushing in the terms that we seek from that firm, terms that will be as competitive as possible and as good for the taxpayer as possible. Okay, now you have a situation here where I think, this is the dangerous part of what I'm going to say, I think we're pushing the firm to give the state a better break, to give the handicapped individuals a better break, to give the taxpayers a better break, and the firm is choosing not to deal in a negotiation basis with the agency, but have decided instead to apply some political muscle to us. And that happens, okay? I'm realistic. I know that happens, but I'm not apologetic for what we've done. You may tell me to shove it and do something different, but I think we were doing something good for the taxpayers when we were trying to get them to recycle all paper, just like the private firm that you mentioned is prepared to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we need a motion of some kind. I would move that we take this under advisement, and the chairman has indicated that he would contact and visit with the two senators who've signed this, and I think that may be the proper action for the committee to take at this time, if that pleases the chair.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Anyway, and I don't want to hold this budget up at all for a public hearing on this, and I don't think we'd get anything by it. We'd probably have gotten more feathers than what we would otherwise. I think
that's true. May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
What I would suggest is that the committee go ahead and take action on the budget this morning. Instruct the executive department to go ahead and prepare a budget report. When that report comes back to you, that will have provided enough time to be able to contact the people involved. And if need be, if you want to have a hearing at a later date.
Yeah. I'll contact them in conjunction with this one function. We'll contact them and talk to them. And see. I have an idea this can be taken care of. Anything else, Steve?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I saw three more items.
Okay.
So. Next item, Mr. Chairman, is an opportunity for Mr. Rolls to tuck a nifty little feather in his cap. Deals with the workers' compensation insurance rates. And April 10th, the Executive Department sent a letter to state agencies, and in our copy of it, included a schedule that shows workers' compensation premium changes. And for most state agencies, those rates have gone down. For example, the Department of Agriculture, the budgeted rate was $2.20. It's gone down to $1.70. That's a savings of $62,964. As we turn back in this chart, Mr. Chairman, we find the general services, if I can find them here. The rate has gone up anyway, Mr. Chairman, $121,000, and Mr. Rawls indicates that he believes that he'll be able to absorb that without an increase in limitation.
Well, I don't want to say that I think we can absorb it. I think you've already taken most of my blood out with those cuts that Steve has proposed to you. No, I don't think we can absorb it, but I think there's a heck of an incentive to my managers to cut these workman's comp losses if they have to absorb these rate increases. I think there's an incentive, and good management would dictate that I not ask you for more money and just let them continue to ask for more money every time the rate goes up, but by my saying, okay, we'll absorb it, I'm going to give them one hell of an incentive to cut their workman's comp losses. So I will absorb that, not because I can, but because that's the proper management thing to do.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How about if you were given the opportunity to use a private carrier instead of just having you say, would that be an incentive?
Bet it would.
I couldn't help but get that little dig in, though that happens to be the only area in the whole universe that's left as a bailiwick for the state action insurance fund. And I think that in as much as they're now a quasi-public corporation, that it may be time coming that we open the state of Oregon up to the private sector so that they can take a shot at it, so that we can create a few of those things. Of course, I'm not part of it.
Chairman, the final two actions are on the substantive bills that accompany the department's budget. The first handout was the amendments to Senate Bill 137. And in essence, Mr. Chairman, the committee's directive was to keep the state fair accounts, the construction account, separate from the capital construction account for the rest of the state. Department of General Services. And in addition to that, the amendment requested by the department on page 7, line 24, to insert including equipment and facilities. This deals with the operating account. The sentence would read then, and may be used, the operating account hereby is appropriated continuously for and may be used for the purchase of all supplies and the payment of all labor and expenses, including equipment and facilities, connected with the operation of the state printing section.
I think that's what we agreed on before. Okay.
I'm going to take final action on that, Mr. Chairman, and then it'll be...
Okay.
More motion?
Yes, please.
And I move that we accept Senate Bill 131 as amended.
This is 137.
137, excuse me, as amended. Okay. Send it to the full committee. Do pass right now.
Okay. I think we all understand what we're doing. Yeah, we understand what we're doing. Okay.
Then, Mr. Chairman, the last one is the amendments for Senate Bill 131. These amendments combine Senate Bill 129 and Senate Bill 130 with 131. And in addition to that, Mr. Chairman, the item that we discussed yesterday with respect to the, on page 6 of the amendments, Mr. Chairman, the language was added by the agency to permit the transfer or the movement of funds from one agency to another or within the agency so that we need replace something that the state no longer is going to use. Council assisted us and added the sentence on page 6 there. It says, however, in the event that the amount exceeds $50,000, approval must also be secured from the Legislative Assembly if in session or the Emergency Board if during the interim. This then would permit the legislative review process to be completed in the event that that amount exceeded the $50,000 rate.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would move then that we would adopt these amendments to Senate Bill 131 and that we ask for a re-engrossed bill and send it to the full committee.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Because I think we should see a re-engrossed bill.
Okay.
I mean, the committee ought to see an engrossed bill.
I think that's fine. There's no problem with that.
That's what we do. You'll never explain it unless you have it in.
No, he's going to have it. It's pretty simple, though, when you get to think of this bill.
Oh, yeah. But still, there's quite a lot of phases to it. It's better to have it in gross than you've got something.
I think you're right. Well, we'll do that then. Now, what else, Steve?
Do you want to take a motion on House Bill 5059, which is Darrell's budget? As
I think there's you going.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
I had a question.
Okay.
And I went through the book, I made some notes, and I remember I asked if this coffee center out here in the basement of the Capitol, if their workload was down, and I don't know if anybody ever got an answer or whether it was an important question or not.
Oh, you're right. The workload is down. The workload is down in the coffee center. From the legislative...
Would that be a result of the... whatever that computer is on the second floor of the Capitol?
John really didn't know. I asked the printer, John Chamberlain, and he really couldn't attribute it to any one thing, but he did tell me that you were right, that the workload is down in the coffee center.
What are we going to... have we laid up the workload down? Have we laid people off here?
Well, we haven't laid anybody off in the Capitol Copy Center. We've shifted workload from other areas on the mall
over
to
here.
Compensate him. John does not participate in any of the decisions in the legislature, obviously.
Yeah.
We just service whatever we're asked to do.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, we'll have to take a closer look, Mr. Chairman, at some of the legislative administration and some of the things that they're doing, because it looks like you're working at office purposes some way. I wanted to get that answer, and I'd like to ask Mr. Forrest, what did we do in the budget as far as the decision package that had something to do with some sort of a computer-like machine that we hook to the telephone so we can trace the calls? What did we do with that? Anything?
Mr. Chairman, that is included in the agency's budget. I identified that as an optional decision package for you under services. Do you still have this?
We've got it.
That's package 318, decision package 318, and that's on page 34 in the black book. The automated telephone cost control system, and it had a cost of $300,000.
I guess that's there would be a question to follow there. It seems to me that there were a couple of positions that was involved with that machine, and it was a question in my mind whether or not with the advent of this machine that we would still need the staff, or at least one of them. Is that a fair question? Or?
I think there is some confusion there, Mr. Chairman. The machines would be an add-on. There would be an enhancement package that would give us more management type data.
Yes.
The machine would help us to collect this information.
Yes.
And data.
I agree with that.
And then be able to disseminate that back to the managers, and the managers then could use that information in determining whether or not good use was being made of the telephones. I don't believe, and Darrell, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I don't believe it would replace any existing position. There was an additional position, and that's package 338, and again, I've identified that for you on this optional sheet, for telephone technical assistance. Maybe there's some confusion there. But I don't believe that the machine itself would replace any labor-intensive things that are being done at this time. It's just something we don't have available to us.
Steve is right. There are two different issues. The $300,000 would be to buy either information from the phone company or a machine from some other company to track what we believe is
but before you got the machine, you had a man doing this manually, some way, shuffling through the telephone bill or station.
We have nobody doing what this machine will do for us.
You had someone trying to do what this machine will do
for you. Oh, yeah, we've been trying to do some prototyping or some experimenting. Which I think I shared with you allowed us to find 6 telephone calls for this national athletic number, which is clearly an abuse. We have been trying to simulate, if you will, this information to decide if it gives us any real valuable information. You know, if we really got this $300,000 package, could we really do anything with it? But we're not doing this stuff on an active basis.
You had one man doing this.
Well, among a lot of other things, though, this was just
now,
a sideline.
With the machine, you're going to have an operator. So
no,
two people.
No, we've not asked for an operator for this.
You're going to when this machine comes online, phone line, then the one position that you have for that there won't be an additional.
There'll be no position. In fact, I'm not even certain that the machine is going to be on our premises.
Then, Mr. Chairman, if I there was a question that I asked about the mail and how it was handled, and I just wonder if there's I think I gave an example or two of how some of that was done, and think you drafted a letter, or the executive department drafted a letter to the agency heads, but your mail delivery, inter-office and all that is working good. I had a note to myself that I had posed that question, and there may be some management things that could be done there to make that operate a little better.
You want me to list some of them?
Well, no, I guess so. And then it seems like I'll just leave that. I guess there were some points made that some of that wasn't being done just exactly the way it should be, but I would hope that you can take care of that. The other thing that I think of, Mr. Chairman, is the state did we take care of the police as far as
yes, I think we got that settled.
Did we settle that?
Mr. Chairman, the security was added back in. That was
that's fine.
I can't remember the package number, but it was
$400,000. No, I just wanted to make sure that we had taken care of that, that to everyone's satisfaction. And I just want
to ask you one question. Okay, following up on what Max said. Wasn't the idea behind the span line or whatever we got here in state that you didn't, you just make phone calls and it was just like going across town or whatever else, and that you really weren't going to go through the process of checking up on everything because it didn't make it economically feasible to do so when you're in that span position?
Well, the advantage of span is the reduced rate for the call rather than it being a long distance toll charge. We lease lines. All span really is a variety of lines we lease from the telephone company, and we manage
but
the
you don't,
network.
But you don't come up with a whole list of every place that somebody dialed from one phone to another, that's the thing you're trying to cut out so that you don't pay for that cost, isn't it?
No, really, the span was to get the reduced line costs. Okay, the real expense to us is line cost. And every time the phone usage goes up and it hits a P15 rating, which is a busy signal rating that the phone company uses, we have to add another line, and those lines are very expensive. So the real reason we got into span was the reduced rate on lines, okay, not the billing savings. It was a reduced rate on lines. That's where our real expense is. However, we're now concerned that the span usage is going up so much that we're having to add lines continuously, and we want to get back into some type of a monitoring system so that we can find out where these calls are going. There's no doubt in our mind that we have phone calls being made that are not appropriate.
So right now you don't chase them down at all. They just go.
We don't even know where they're going to.
Anybody can pick up a phone anyplace,
right.
State agency on a dial in
and every
span system.
That's right. And every time we hit a P15 rating, we have to add another line. And that comes out of the agency budget. Not my agency, but all state agencies' budget. And that's why that phone cost is, the phone expense is the greatest single expense in our department. And it's just going out of sight.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I want to continue along this for just a moment. Would you lease this machine, or will you own it? Would you continue to use it? I guess that's two or three questions.
We haven't really received all the proposals from the firms that have this type of equipment available, so I really can't answer that. But I'm inclined to think that we would lease it. This is a piece of high technology equipment. Probably it would be more economical for us if we leased it rather than tried to buy it. But I don't know until we get all the proposals here.
Trace's call, don't the telephone companies, as I recollect back when we were discussing this, the telephone company could do this for you now, but they would charge them.
Right, that's right. And we may well end up buying this from the phone company. Not on a lease basis, not on a purchase basis, but on a service basis. Okay, there's really about three different ways we can go.
Well, once you It would seem to me, though, that once you made this investigation and you discovered that there's a certain legislative aide that's calling his grandmother every day in Pocatello, Idaho, that once this made the news or made it known to everyone that there is a terrific abuse, and I'm sure there is. No question in my mind. But would you then continue that surveillance year after year after year?
It's a rotating monitoring system. In other words, we may only monitor a phone line once every 3 or 4 months, and we would rotate it around. If some manager came to us and said, hey, I think I've got some funny business going on, we might monitor that phone for 6 months.
I'll be right back.
But unless we had that kind of a situation, we'd rotate it. It may only be on there 3 or 4 months out of a year. Might monitor it twice a year. It'd be too expensive to monitor every line 12 months a year. So we'll either buy or lease a machine that will monitor, say, 25% of our lines, or we would buy that service from the phone company on 25% of the lines.
Is that terribly expensive? Would it be cheaper to do it that way than, or less expensive to do it that way than to purchase a $300,000 machine?
Well, this $300,000 is on the rotating monitoring system. If we were going to buy a machine to monitor everything, we'd need well over $1 million. This $300,000 is only a piece of what most big companies, you want to look at the big companies in the private sector, they have much more than we're talking about here. We couldn't afford the big thing.
Mr. Chairman, if I may interject here just a moment. I think that Andrew, this is really the first step in permitting the agency to get some sort of a handle on what our true telephone service needs are. And the additional package into one position would supposedly free up a technical person already on board over there to go ahead and spend all of that person's time in helping state agencies to come to grips with what their true telephone service needs are. And the thoughts here are that once we know that, and we come up with some sort of management information and give that then to the managers of these state agencies, we ought to be able to reduce our telephone service cost and at least pay for the cost of these two items and hopefully realize continued cost savings to the state in the long term, on the long haul on these things.
If we don't document savings as a consequence of this equipment, we will abandon it. And there's no point really in having this and having better cost. That's all what this is about.
You won't be, let me go one step further, you won't be monitoring the telephones that are in the Capitol, just the agency people.
No, this will monitor all phone calls. Let me make sure, though, that everybody knows what I'm talking about in terms of monitoring. We're not talking about listening in on the phone call.
I know you're not.
We're talking about the switching equipment telling us the call goes from where to where. And legislative administration has indicated that they would like to have us be able to provide that kind of information to them as well as other state agencies.
Right.
But now, if legislative administration said they weren't interested in it, no, we understand. I don't do anything in this building unless I'm asked to.
Yeah,
okay, so if they want it, we'll do it. If they don't want it, we'll go deal with other folks.
Okay. Well, that's all.
Okay. The question you asked is something that I forgot to talk about. Well, with that, we have a motion to send the bill out.